Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you. We need you. God, we don't know what to do without you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But we know that with God, all things are possible, and we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we thank you, we bless you, we love you, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, decaying world. We need you more today than we did yesterday. So much has happened from last Sunday to this Sunday, God. Help us. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. We open our hearts and minds to receive what God is speaking to us today. Let it lead to a transformed life. Let it lead to an urgency for revival in our hearts and our homes in the church. Let it lead to an urgency to go and share the gospel with someone, Lord, who needs to hear the word of God, who needs to be rescued from this lost and dying generation. Light a fire in us, Lord, that we share your word with others. Don't let us rest without being convicted of not sharing the word of God with someone when we have an opportunity. Bless this time. Holy Spirit, lead, guide, and direct. We need you now. Speak to your people directly to their hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So family, we've been on the series of the I Am statements. We're still with I am the good shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd as opposed to a bad shepherd. We've discovered that the bad shepherds are false prophets. There's a lot of them out there. Christ talks about beware of the false prophets, those that are teaching a message contrary to the word of God. Did I say John 10 and 12? So we'll do, this is, we've talked about this, but God just added a little more to it. And so verse 12, it talks about a hireling, someone that's hired. There are people that are just hired to preach the gospel. That's their motive. They collect the check just like any other job. Amen. Just like these people on your job, they could care less about the company. They could care less about the boss. They could care less about anything. Just give me my check on payday. They're going to do as little as possible. It's no connection. It's no concern at all. And unfortunately, Jesus said we have those type of people that are leading the church. Could care less. They're called a hireling. They only do it to see what they can get. They only take. They never give. They don't care about you or me. They don't care about our eternal destination. And when it gets tough, they will leave you and not care. Verse 12 says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep. He runs faster than the sheep to get away. He flees. And the wolf catches them and scatter the sheep. Underline scatter. The enemy is out to scatter the sheep. He loves to split churches. He loves to scatter the sheep. Because once you're out there on your own and you start listening to your own self, he got you right where he wants you. The last thing the enemy wants is for us to be in church, learning, growing, fellowshipping. So his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he causes that by scattering the sheep. Some of us, we've been part of church splits. They're ugly. Led by hirelings, filled with arrogance and pride and greed. Envy and vainglory. It's not about God or the sheep. It's always about them. Once you leave the covering of a sheep and family, one thing I want us to do with this is to be praying for those who we know that maybe once they were here and I don't mind if people are here and they're not here, as long as they're somewhere getting taught the word. Somebody say amen. It doesn't matter. But for those that are just out there, scattered, Be praying for them. Be praying for their hearts, that God would touch their hearts, lead them to a Bible-believing church. Because once you're out there, you leave the covering of the church and you're left to your own thoughts, the enemy can tell you anything. So for those of us in here, the word from God is to be a peacemaker. Do all that you can to continue to unite the sheep, bring the sheep together, and not cause the sheep to scatter. So the word of the Lord is telling us, guard your mouth, guard your thoughts, be quiet, be courteous, be respectful, be led by the Holy Spirit and not by the filthy flesh. Do not feed into gossip, feed the sheep. Squash it, stop it, unite the sheep, don't be a hireling, and scatter the sheep. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some sheep never recover from being scattered. They're out wandering, being influenced by savage wolves, false prophets. So we have to understand there's a good shepherd and there's a bad shepherd. I was on the board of a church, and we had a pastor that was there, and he had the nerve to tell the board that he couldn't afford to tithe. Because he wasn't getting enough. Hey, think about that. No, I mean, I'm serious now. I mean, this is what you have leading some churches. If you got a pastor who can't afford to tithe, what is he trusting in? Money? Because what do we say? You can't afford not to tithe. And if you trust God, then God works it out. But hear what I'm this is a pastor. Said he couldn't afford to tithe. Because it was about the money, it wasn't about the people. And he was making quite a bit of money too. I'm on the board, so I mean that's, hey, family, I tell y'all this. I mean, it's just, I've seen just too much. Sister PJ, I've seen too much. Hey, let me share one thing with you all too. When the Lord showed me that this was my assignment, and I had to come home and pray that he would show my wife the same thing that he showed me. All right? Because Tracy knows if she's not with me, then I can't. There's no way you're going to be passing the church and your wife is somewhere else. Like, come on now. That don't make no sense. So when the Lord showed her the same thing, we sat down and we had this heart-to-heart conversation. You know, couples, you try it. I mean, it's kind of a novel thing where couples kind of sit and talk. Amen? But we just made the decision. We'd seen enough of foolishness. We've seen enough of games. We've seen enough of tricks and gimmicks and drama. And we said, we'd never do that. Otherwise, we're not going to take it. Amen? Amen. Enough is enough. And so, Lord, we made that promise. We're not going to come here and play games and play with people's minds and have a shoe offering and all kind of other offerings and whatever you paid for your last amount of shoes, that's what you need to offer up right now and all that kind of stuff. But you got hirelings and they're out there and they're doing stuff like that. They don't care anything about the sheep. They only want to take. There's no sacrifice. And that pastor who couldn't afford to tithe, it wasn't about Christ. It was about the money. And eventually he had secret meetings and caused a major church split. A hireling. Is what the word says. So it's a difference between a good shepherd and family. I'm telling you because it's all types of false prophets out there now. Amen. And let me tell you how they come. They're on your job. They're in social media. They're in politics. They're in your home. They're on the radio. They're in music. The award shows, the reality TV, the soap operas, they're out to steal, kill, and destroy. And we spend so much time with the false prophecy that we get distracted. And look at verse 13. The hireling flee because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I've known of my sheep. We spend so much time with all this other stuff that we don't get a chance to know God. All right? Because I'm so distracted, I don't get a chance to know God. That's why we're praying and fasting, because God, I want to know you just a little bit more. And so the word no, it means, it speaks of a, that word no and no, it speaks of an intimate relationship with God, like a husband and a wife. I mean, even in the Jewish, it talks about intercourse. I mean, it's a wound up relationship where you know the ins and out of that person. Christ says, I am the good shepherd, the sheep know me, and I know them. We are intimate. The conversation goes something like this. Lord, intimate relationship with God. We wake up and go, Lord, I love you, says, I know. Lord, I'm struggling. I know you're struggling, but I still love you. Matter of fact, I died for you even before you knew that I existed. I died for you. But Lord, I want to thank you for that. Don't you worry about it. By the way, I love you more than you ever know. I'll never leave you. I'll never harm you. I'll provide for you. Don't stress, don't worry. I'll always be there. No, I won't die for you. I've already died for you to prove my love for you. I love you that much. Oh God, thank you. But what about all the stuff? It's covered by the blood. Matter of fact, I'm coming back for you. And if I don't come back for you, I'm gonna have you transition and come be with me in paradise. Matter of fact, you know what? I love you so much, let me tell you something. I'm gonna marry you. You're my bride. And I'm gonna marry you. See, that's the intimate relationship that we have with God, where you sit there and everybody's looking for the perfect love story. When you hear someone say, I love you so much, I'll never leave you. Matter of fact, I'll die for you. Christ said, I've already died for you to prove my love. We're all looking for the ultimate love story. One of the love stories I see that I really like was The Notebook. Oh my gosh, their love. He died with her. They loved each other. Even when she lost it, he stayed there. Oh my gosh. Christ said, okay, Anne, compare that to my love. Compare that to my love. Oh, that was a great love. Everybody's looking for love. Everybody's looking for the ultimate love. It already happened. And Christ said, my sheep know me and I know them. And we're in love like that. And we have those dialogues daily. Couples, you should have that dialogue daily with your spouse because you love them, amen? Because you married them, amen? And it's a reflection of how much Christ loves us. Have this thing called emotional adultery, which we commit on God. We get so wrapped up in other stuff and then tell God, man, I ain't got time for you right now because I'm all into this other stuff. My wife and I have counseled couples premarital and postmarital, and the husband complains that the wife, she gets on the phone with her friends and they all talking and they having such a good time, and then he says, how you doing? She says, I'm fine. And the wife complains that he goes to work and he has a work wife or a work buddy, and they sit and talk in the break room about everything, and then when he comes home and she asks him how he's doing, he says, oh, I'm good. I'm not cheating on you. You are. It's called emotion, because your emotions are wrapped up in something else and not in your spouse. You're cheating. And God's saying the same thing. He says, my sheep know me. Underline that word know, because it's going to make a big difference. I promise you it will. He says, my sheep know me. I'm the good shepherd, verse 14, and know my sheep. I'm intimately wrapped up with my sheep. And they are intimately wrapped up with me. That's a personal relationship. That's not religion. That's a relationship. Okay, so I'm studying this and I'm all over the place. You already know that, right? Talks about a trust on a deep level. So God took me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Please turn there. And God is saying that we are so distracted because we're on this broad road. And it's a narrow road that leads to a relationship with Christ. That intimate relationship. That broad road leads to destruction. And underline the word many is going to make sense too. And many are on that road. So we can't be surprised when you talk to people about your relationship with Christ and they don't get it, because they're so distracted. They're on that road, that broad road. You may think you're on the road to success or happiness or a good time or pleasure, but it's actually the road to hell. It's a broad road. It's a straight gate. It's a broad road. It's no in between. It's not anything in between that, family. You're on one road or the other. And we're talking about false prophets. We're talking about the road. The false prophets influence you to get on the broad road. See the connection. The false prophets influence you to be on the broad road. You think you're on the road to success or happiness or a good time or pleasure, but it's actually the road to hell. And the signs on that road will never tell you about its final destination. Let me say it again. The road to hell never tells you about its final destination. It just hopes you keep going and find yourself there. No warning signs whatsoever. You're having so much fun on that broad road. You're successful. You're this, you're that. People are looking up to you. You're listening to the false prophets. It says many are on that road. Here's a note, family. Just because everybody's doing it is probably a sign that it's the road, that broad road that's leading to hell, because there's so many on there. Youth, be careful. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody has one. Everybody, be careful. Because it says many are on that road. So don't be surprised that everybody's doing it. That's probably an indication that it's the road you don't want to be on. Because we don't serve the same God as the other religions, and we're all not the same. We are not. Verse 13, enter in at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that lead to destruction, and many, underline many, there be which go in thereat. There'll be many on that broad road. Verse 14, because straight is the gate. And difficult, that narrow also means difficult or it's confined. It's a tough road. Somebody say amen. Amen. When you got to be led by the Spirit and not by your filthy flesh, it's a tough road. And everybody else is going this way and God said you have to go that way. It's a tough road. And you're at school on your job, you're getting clowned by your family and everybody because it's a difficult road. But it's the road that leads to life, and few, underline few, there's not a lot that's going to find it. So we can't be surprised that when we share the gospel, remember, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God, so don't take it personal, but don't be surprised. Because that broad road, man, it's filled with all kind of stuff. And the false prophets are leading the charge, influenced by Satan and deceiving many. It's a narrow road. It's a broad road. Family, make a note. It's right or wrong. It's good or evil. It's saint or sinner. It's godly or ungodly. It's that simple. Sister Kathy, it says, read this, so I got to read. It says, don't complicate your life with opinions from false prophets. Because they're trying to tell you all this and all that, and it's a road that's narrow, and it's a road that's broad. It's right or it's wrong, it's good or it's evil, it's saint or it's sinner, it's godly or ungodly. It's that simple. Don't complicate your life with opinions from false prophets. And when you're on that road that's so broad, that's when it prevents you from knowing Christ intimately. Where you spend that time, you have that heart-to-heart daily with the one who created the universe. It doesn't get any better than that, but the broad road will have you chasing stuff that has no eternal value. So here we go. And God just showed me a connection, gave me revelation as I was studying this, right? We're talking about the broad road. And then look where he goes in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. That road that's broad, it's being led by false prophets. They go together. It's straight. It's the way to go. And then you got to beware of false prophets. Because they're going to try and get you on that broad road and tell you everybody's doing it. And it's okay. You don't have to listen to that stuff. It's not that serious. You're taking that Jesus stuff too far, but nobody else resurrected and died for our sins. It is that serious. It's no other way. Amen. Either you follow him or you don't. It's that simple. We complicate it because we listen to the wrong voices. They want to elevate themselves over the word of God. And the arrogance. I had a group of students I was asking. We're in public school. We get on this conversation. And I asked them, do you all think you're smarter than the Bible? At least they were smarter. I said, no. Amen? They said, no. You think your uncle and all them, you think they're smarter than the Bible? No, Professor Carter, no. Okay, cool. So why we don't follow it? If we're not smarter than it, then why won't we allow it to lead our life? Because of the false prophets. And they take us on another road, Brother Ivy. And now I'm going to be successful. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. Okay. There's nothing wrong with being successful and having things. But when it takes you away from that intimate relationship with God, where you don't even know who God is and God doesn't know you, because God said, my sheep know me and I know them. We spend time. We hang out. We're like wrapped up in each other. They love me just like they love their wife. They love me just like they love their husband. They love me just like when they get someone that they really love, they would love them. But it starts with me. So God shows me how to love my wife because I'm wrapped up with him. But that road keeps us distracted. Those false prophets, look at it. Verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. They're savage wolves. We can't be surprised. Don't let politics lead your life. Get away from that stuff. Be careful. You got to cut the TV off. This stuff is just too much. All these false prophets trying to feed your flesh, getting you upset. Now you're angry. You don't like this. You don't like that. You're not spending time with God. And Christ saying, I want to be intimate with you, but you don't have time. Start sliding over to that broad road. You're distracted. You lose your intimate time with God. Verse 16, God says, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by what they do. Do they gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? If you watch someone for a while, you'll see. And I'm telling you, family, don't ignore the warning signs. I don't care how much you like them. I don't care how much money they make. I don't care what they drive or where they live. I'm telling you, you better gather your evidence. And watch their fruit. See, that's the hardest thing when, as a pastor, and I shared this at Sister Sherry's service, that when you got to try and guess if somebody's saved. Talking about they accepted Christ when they were five. And you look at the rest of their fruit. And it's rotten. It says you'll know them by their fruit. You can't get around that. Are you serious? And now I'm supposed to try and convince myself, number one, and try and give the family hope. Where there's no fruit, you're known by their fruit. What if they gather? You read the obituary, they've done nothing for Christ. There's no fruit, no evidence in their life. And you're trying to make, I'm trying to make you think that the word is wrong? You will know them by their fruit. You just can't do stuff that has no eternal value and say that you have an intimate relationship with Christ. You can't do it. Look what Christ is saying. The road is broad. The road is narrow. Watch out for false prophets. How do you know it's a false prophet? Look at their fruit. How do you know this person coming into your life is from God or sent from the devil? Remember, they come into your life for two reasons. Either God sent them or Satan sent them. There's no in between. And how do you know? You look at their fruit. You can't get all wrapped up in emotions and what they have and how they smell and what they sound like and all this kind of stuff. You got to look at their fruit, and it takes time. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. You look at them over time, you see, okay, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit or bad fruit. is no way around it. What type of fruit are you bringing forth? It's just that simple. So we all pause and we examine, man, what kind of fruit have I been bringing? In 2019, what kind of fruit was I producing? What was I really doing? And then Brother John mentioned it in the men's meeting this morning. And then you look at your life, and sometimes when we look like last week, the fruit might have looked kind of bad. But then when I look back 10 years ago, I say, well, from 10 years ago, man, I'm so far. Okay, God, I am doing. Thank you, Lord. There is some type of fruit in my life. Amen? Amen. So don't be so hard on yourself. Don't look at last week. Look at about 10 years ago. Have I grown? Have I produced any fruit? Have I made a difference in it? Okay, thank you, Lord. Whew. And then you stay close to God. Amen? But don't judge your fruit by last week. You could have had a bad week. Amen? That's the exception and not the rule. But the fruit don't lie. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast in the fire. And we know he's talking about those false prophets and the fruit and what they're producing. And at the end, they wind up in the fire, which we know to be hell. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. It will be made obvious who they are when you inspect their fruit. Again, people tell you, don't judge me. I'm not going to judge you, but I'm expecting fruit. I'm a fruit inspector. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why are you judging me? I'm not judging you. I'm cool. But you know you're expecting that fruit, and it's just... there's just some people you just don't need to be around. Because their fruit is rotten, their fruit is bad. And you can share the gospel with them and you can do that from afar. But I'm not hanging out with anybody that has bad fruit. I just can't. I don't have time for that. I'm going to plant that seed. I'm going to water that seed. I'm going to love them. I'm going to pray for them. But I'm not hanging out with anybody who's producing bad fruit. We don't have time to waste like that, family. Then God shows me the other revelation as I'm studying. Verse 21, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22, what does that word start off with? Many. The same ones that's on that broad road. It says, many's going to, it's the same word. Many's going to be on that broad road. Many's going to say, and I used to think, God showed me today when I put it all in context, you got Christians who are going to go to God and say, didn't I? He's not talking about the Christians. He's talking about the many false prophets that's on that broad road, okay? That's been deceived by Satan, thinking that every religion is the same. We all serve the same God. We've all, you know, we're all God's children. Believe in that satanic lie, because we don't serve the same God. We serve the true and living God, which is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Every religion does lead to God, but does not lead to eternal life, because in Revelation said he saw everybody stand before God. So yes, you will go before God, but not into eternal life. And everybody's not a child of God. We're created by God, but Jesus said you're of your father, the devil. So I used to try and figure out, they're going to be Christians? And God showed me during the study, he's not talking about Christians. He's not talking about y'all, okay? He's not talking about us, those that have really accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and have that intimate relationship. Lord, I'm struggling, God. Well, I know you're struggling. That's why I died for you, because you couldn't do it yourself. Yes, now get yourself up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. If I'm for you, who can be against you? Nobody. You know I love you. I already died to prove my love for you. Oh, God, you're so cool. I know. All right? Now pull it together. You got work to do. There's people out there that needs to hear the gospel. And it's not about you. You can't earn it. Stop thinking you're earning it. It's already been done. Now, when I said it's finished, it's finished. Okay? Yeah, God, I know. You know, I just trip sometime, God, you know. But you know I love you. I know you love me. All right? Now, get out there and do what I called you to do. Okay? Now, get yourself up. Don't run from me next time. Run to me, okay? Amen. All right. All right. See, he's not talking about, that's not in that many. That's on that narrow road, that difficult road. He's not talking about Christians. He's talking about false prophets. They're going to say to God in that day, look at this. They're going to say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name, have we cast out devils? See, they say the name, or they say in God, right? The small g, in God's name. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And I love this. I told you to underline. I told you it was coming back. And then will I profess. Then Jesus said, I'm going to confess. I'm going to declare unto them, I never what? We never had intercourse. We never spent that intimate time. You were never wrapped up in me. Oh, you mean like I was supposed to really accept you and spend time and pray to you? And are you serious? Jesus said, we ain't never spent time together. I don't know you. It's the same word that was in John that had you underlined. It's the same word right here in the Greek. It is the same word. We were never wrapped up intimately together. I don't know you. We never had a relationship. And there's no way you can consider yourself a Christian and never have a relationship with Christ. Amen. So it's the false prophets. Amen. Who's serving on that broad road thinking that it's the same God and we all good and God loves everybody and love is love. Jesus said, he finishes though. And then I'm going to profess, and that word profess, I'm going to confess unto them. Man, I never knew you. Get out of my face. All you did was practice wickedness. That's it. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Get out of my face, you that practice wickedness. Can't fool ourselves thinking it's the same. Family, be careful. They're all around them. Get off of that broad road if you're on it. Get back to that narrow, difficult road. We all don't serve the same God. It's false prophets influencing people. God. And when you take a look tonight. I don't know if you want to just watch the news for 5 minutes. Think about your job, how people get so wrapped up in their job that it's about the company and the bottom line and the profits. That's all just broad road stuff. It's no eternal value. And in the end, people think they're working for God. You know, I gave to the homeless. I did that. All you did was practice wickedness. I don't know. We never spent time together. All right, let me wrap just this part of it up, all right? Let's go back to John 10. So then we're going to end like this, all right? Y'all know I'm always all over the place, and then we pick it up next week, and we continue on. Okay, here we go. John 10:14. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I am the good shepherd. And I know, same word, I never knew you, it's the same word. I know my sheep, and I'm known of my sheep. We're locked in with Christ. Lord, I love you for that, the relationship we have. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. They're wrapped up together too. And I lay down my life for the sheep, amen. That's that love, heart-to-heart connection. Christ is not a hireling, he's laying down his life for us. All right, here we go, it gets good, I'm gonna stop and we'll pick it up next week. And other sheep I have. What? That's us. Come on now. Amen. He's telling disciples, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, right? Them also I must bring, and they must hear my voice. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. We're going to stop right here. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. It ain't no other folds out there. Outside of Christ, they're led by the false prophets. It's one fold and it's one shepherd. Amen. False prophets are how you're on that broad road going nowhere. Jesus said, I got some others. I'm working on y'all. And then some other ones, they're going to hear my voice. They're going to respond. And then family, we can't be, don't take it personal when folks don't respond, because he said it's many on that broad road. But let's go out and spread the gospel so the ones that are on that part of that narrow, difficult road can hear the call, get that intimate relationship, and get rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Amen? Amen. And the rest we're going to pick up next week. So let's just bow our heads and spend a few moments in prayer. As we're praying and fasting, Lord, for the fold. Lift the scales off the eyes of our family members, our friends, our co-workers, our loved ones, Lord. Let them get off of that broad road, Lord. Let us plant the seed, water the seed. You give the increase, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, it's so delicate out there. And folks think they're having a good time and they're doing stuff and they're on the broad road. They don't have an intimate relationship with Christ. And Christ is going to say, we never hung out. I don't care what you did. Because you're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Christ is going to say, I don't care what you did. I never knew you. We never hung out. We were never intimately involved. Get out of my face. All you did was practice wickedness because our works piled together. Paul said it's a pile of dung. Isaiah said it's filthy rags. And we got to get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Lord, let us practice every day the intimate relationship. Let us run to you like we do our spouse and our other loved ones and desire to have that heart-to-heart connection, desire to have that intimate fellowship, desire to have that relationship. God says, start with me, because no one else is going to die for you and resurrect. He's already proved his love by dying. He doesn't have to do anything. God, if you don't do anything else, you've already done enough. You've already proved your love to us. Don't listen to the false prophet who'll say, man, I love you so much, I'll die for you. No. It's already been done. The ultimate love has already been done. The ultimate act of love. Christ has already died and resurrected to prove his love for us. God, help us now to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. Help us now to stay on that difficult, narrow road that leads to eternal life with you. Give us the wisdom to discern false prophets and bad fruit when we see it. And let us run to you and not from you, Lord. Give us a heart to want to spend time with you daily in praying and fasting, hearing from you, because it's too much going on in the world today not to be able to hear from you. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, as we all stand here and rededicate our lives to you. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. We confess, we forsake, so that we might find mercy. Help us to do better. Thank you from where you brought us, Lord. We thank you that we're not what we used to be. And we bless you because we're not where you're taking us to be, Lord. We're not there yet. And this journey is a marathon, it's not a sprint. Give us strength, Lord. Teach us how to love, to give, to forgive. To unite the sheep and not scatter the sheep. To be transparent, to be real, to be honest. Oh Lord, we love you on today. Thank you for giving us clarity on false prophets and one fold, one flock, one shepherd, one God, one people that are under that God. Give us the urgency to share Christ with others, Lord. We don't have time to waste. Give us the urgency, Lord, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. Bless your people. May we live a transformed life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Stand to your feet and you are dismissed. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed.